I love it. I love it. Let's hear it for Pastor Billy Hornsby. Incredible. Awesome, man. I'm so thankful that you're here, and what a privilege it is. I want you to know it's a privilege for me to be able to stand in front of you and be able to share with you on this opening session of the All Access Conference. Are you guys having a good time so far? Aren't you just thankful for a few days? I mean, just to kind of get away, just kind of chill out. How many of you just need a few days, just kind of get away? It's like, I don't care if I get anything out of this. I'm away from home for a few days, man. I'm telling you, there's just something about it. Just stopping everything, pushing the pause button. But we do hope that God does something very special in your heart. I want you to know that this is not just a church planting conference, but it's much more than that. We want God, we want the Holy Spirit to do something in your heart, something that would be fresh, something that would renew you, so you could go back to your cities, you could go back to your villages or your communities or wherever you are around the world, and that God would do something awesome in your life and in your community. Amen? That's what we're here about. It's for God to do something that would not just happen in your life, but would spread to others. I want to talk to you today for a few moments about the heart. I want to talk to you about what is the main thing, the main thing. It's great to be here and have the All Access Conference in North Carolina. I just do need to mention the home of the 2009 National Championship basketball team, Tar Heels. Come on. There's more than one great university. I know a lot of you, some of you are LSU. Some of my buddies are LSU Tiger fans. They own football, I have to admit. ACC, we're still learning how to play football. We're getting there. But how many of you know ACC dominates in basketball? Come on, somebody. Come on. So it's great to be here. But as we talk about the main thing, what is the main thing? What is it that makes churches life-giving? What is it that makes churches grow? We're here on this campus. Our church is almost 11 years old. We're on a 47-acre tobacco farm. I mean, literally, before we built this property, we bought it, and it was a tobacco farm. And God has just done incredible things here. And some of you are like, I don't know where we are. You know, some of you are like, where am I? Am I in Raleigh? Am I in Clayton? We're not even in Clayton. We're like in Cleveland, which doesn't even have a, it's not even a city. We're in a township, you know. We're a suburb of Clayton. And you know what I was thinking about this? This is an example of the power of God. Because the only way you can explain this is that God did it. Amen? I certainly can't take any credit for this. It's all Jesus. And that's my prayer for all of us, that God would do something in your heart, that the only way to explain it as he works in you and through you is that God did it. You can't take the glory. You and I can't take the credit, but we can only give God glory. The first thing I want to share with you today is that God's power must work in your hearts first. If we're not careful, we can look at technology, we can look at facilities, we can look at programming, we can look at styles of ministry, and you know, we got to do this or we got to do that. If I just had this piece of equipment, if I just had this facility, I could grow a ministry. If I just had this staff member, if I just had, you know, this new ministry or this new program. And I'm here to tell you, it's not about a program or an activity or a facility. It's about God working in your heart first. And my prayer tonight is, before we get into all the nuts and bolts of ministry and the how-tos of ministries, and you're going to learn a lot of that stuff over the next couple of days, but my prayer for you tonight is that God would do a mighty work in your heart. Some of you may need to have your heart healed tonight. Some of you may need to have your heart restored. Some of you just need some encouragement. The main thing is not what you see here, not the lights, not the tech, not the facilities, but it's the power of God working in our hearts first. It starts with the heart. Repeat after me. It starts with the heart. Now let's say it together. It starts with the heart. Look at the person next to you and say, it starts with the heart. So many pastors and leaders today are burning out. So many pastors and leaders today are discouraged. I was just talking recently to a pastor, And he said, man, my church is struggling financially. I'm struggling financially. These are challenging days for my church. We're a year and a half year old church, and people are getting saved, but it's just a hard time. And God wants you to know that he wants to do a mighty work in your heart, and that maybe the one thing that you're going to leave from this conference is you're not going to give up. You're not going to quit. You're not going to throw in the towel. I heard recently 1,500 pastors in the U.S. are leaving the ministry every month due to conflict, burnout, or moral failure. 80% of pastors feel discouraged or unqualified. 84% of pastors' wives or spouses feel discouraged and unqualified. 50% are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could make a living doing something else. Many pastors and leaders are hurting today, but God wants to do a mighty work in your heart. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your what? Heart, for it is the wellspring of life. My question for you to hear today is your heart healthy? Is your heart healthy? Because if your heart's healthy, it's going to impact your ministry. Because here's the deal, healthy hearts grow healthy churches. You want your church to grow, then let your heart grow. If your heart's healthy, your ministry will be healthy, your church will be healthy. But many people have heart disease. There's a disease in your heart, and you may not even realize it, but if you ask your spouse or you ask those closest to you, you might say, yeah, there is a little bit of a disease there in your heart. A couple years ago, I was going and blowing, and we were trying to build this building, and I think we were doing 5 services for a while, and I went to the doctor just for a routine deal about my eye, and had something going on with my eye, so I went to my doctor, and the nurse came in, and she started, you know, checking my pulse and just kind of doing the routine stuff, and she checked my pulse, and she's like, I was like, you don't really want to hear a nurse say, you know, it's like, she's like, we might need to do an EKG on you. And I'm like, an EK what? Next thing I know, they're hooking this stuff up to me. She's like, you have an irregular heartbeat. And so one thing led to another, and then the doctor came and said, we need to do a stress test. I said, I don't need a test to tell me I'm stressed, you know? I'm a church planner. I don't need a test for this. I can just tell you right now I'm stressed out, you know? Can we just skip the whole test deal? Well, I didn't pass the stress test. End up in a hospital getting a heart catheterization. Fortunately, just minor blockage, and I'm supposed to exercise and eat healthy like Billy Hornsby. That's my goal. Eat as much as I can. Amen. Most spiritual thing. And so I'm working on that. Got some accountability partners that have their hands full trying to keep me on track with that. But you know what? If your heart is not healthy, it impacts your whole body. You can have something, you know, your arm could be hurt or broke or whatever. Or you can have something wrong with other body parts, but you can still live and be all right. But if your heart is not healthy, it affects your whole body. And it can be fatal. Unfortunately, many people are dying. Many pastors and leaders are dying. Why? Because they have heart disease. Matthew chapter 15. We see the Pharisees, the religious leaders, come to Jesus, and they begin to ask him, why is it that the disciples, they don't follow all of our religious traditions, and they weren't washing their hands before they ate? And maybe that's an issue that you have with your family and with your leaders, I'm not sure. But so why do they not follow the tradition of washing their hands? And we see in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus, he quotes the prophet Isaiah and says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by men. The religious leaders had learned how to play the religious game. They were more concerned about the outside than they were the inside. And how does Jesus respond? Verse 10, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Peter is confused. I can relate to Peter. Peter's like, Jesus, can you explain this to me? So Jesus gets very, very specific, very clear. Let me get just right down to the bottom line here, Peter. He says in verse 17, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth must go into the stomach and then out of the body? I don't think you can get more clear than that, right? What comes in your mouth, Peter, goes into your stomach and must come out. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. See, God works from the inside out. Have you ever been so tired, so discouraged, so depleted, that you just felt like you were trying to manufacture compassion, manufacture love, God, you got to help me here because I don't have anything in me. My tank is empty. You've been pouring out. You've been giving out. And your quiet time is, God, give me something to preach this Sunday. just give me something to preach. You know, and you can fake people for a while, but I'm telling you, if you want your ministry and you want your churches to grow and to be healthy, our hearts must be healthy. But many people, their hearts, they have heart disease. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I think I have something going on in my heart. Jesus says, what comes into you goes out. Pastor Greg Surratt and I have gone to India many times. The first trip that we went, he invited me to go with him to train leaders with John Maxwell, and we traveled for, it felt like 2 days of nonstop travel to finally get there, and I drank so much water, and we landed and had a couple hours to go to the hotel and go straight to the conference. And if you've ever been to India, they just treat you so well, and they were giving me these bottles of water every time I turned around, and so I drank all this water. We get to the conference, there's 500 or 600 leaders from all over the area, all over that region of South India who were there, and I had just drunk like 5 gallons of water. And I get in there, and you got this whole cultural barrier, and they put you, that you walk in, and you go immediately to the platform. So I'm sitting up on the platform, and Pastor Greg is teaching the first session, and I'm dying. I am just like, oh my goodness. God, you got to help me here. I mean, I'm trying to cross my legs, you know. I'm just like, and I kid you not, I was hurting so bad, and I was trying to get the eye contact with one of the leaders, and finally, they took like a 10-second break, you know, and I bolted off, and I could hardly even walk. It's ever happened to you? I mean, you're just so bad. I could hardly even walk. It was just one step at a time. I was going to explode, because what comes in you comes out. It's got to come out. That's the way God made us. And what comes into us will come out. And here's 4 things I want to share with you that can come out of us if our heart is not healthy. The first one is this: we can have a jealous heart. These are things that all of us, if we're to be honest with it, we battle with. A jealous heart. God blesses another ministry. God blesses another church. And we're like, how come God's not doing that in my church? And we begin to look at them, and we can't even embrace what they're doing. We can't even praise God for what they're doing because we're so jealous. We can't even rejoice when God blesses a church across town or across the state or across the country. We become jealous. We talk about him. We find things we don't like about him or her, and we become jealous. You know how you can overcome a jealous heart? Is when God works in your heart and you begin to celebrate. Begin to celebrate with them. And you know, sometimes it's not going to come natural. You're going to have to just say, God, I celebrate based on a choice, that I'm going to celebrate that this person that God has put them in that city. God's put them in my area, and I'm going to celebrate with them when God blesses them. And the more that you celebrate with them, the more God softens your heart. You're not quite as jealous, and all of a sudden you can get victory over that, and you can authentically celebrate when God blesses other ministries. I'm sure none of you here struggle with that. Some of you, I know you're jealous of our Carolina Hurricanes, who are getting ready to win the Stanley Cup, I'm telling you. And I don't know where you're from, but if you're from Detroit, Michigan, the Red Wings are going to go down this year. Red Wings are going down. We got one more game to win, then we go on. But some of you are all jealous of the Carolina Tar Heels. You just can't even, when I say Tar Heels, you just can't handle it. Some of you are jealous of LSU. I'm jealous of LSU. They got such a great football team. My son, Billy, has messed up my son, by the way. He's now an LSU football fan. And by the way, why don't we just go ahead right now and just yell at your favorite team. Just go ahead. Man, y'all some passionate people, passionate fans. How many of you SEC fans? All right, Big Ten, ACC, whatever the West Coast is. What's the West Coast? The WAC. Is it the WAC? Pac-10? Whatever. Big 12? Yeah. Awesome. Hey, whatever. All I know is I'm in ACC country. Come on. There's just one sport, basketball. We got to celebrate when God blesses other ministries. The second thing I want to share with you about an unhealthy heart, and these are warning signs, is a competitive heart. And there's nothing wrong with being competitive and wanting to kind of win, and you know, I think that's a drive that God puts in our heart. The challenge is when that competitive heart begins to become a disease in our heart, and when someone shares with you what God's doing in your heart, you begin to compare yourself with them. And you judge yourself based on how God's blessing other churches. And can I tell you, you cannot win that game. Because no matter how God's blessing your church or your ministry, there's somebody else out there that has one more person, one more person at church, one more person saved. And if you start playing that game, you're going to start. Here's what happens if you have that heart disease. You're always trying to one-up somebody. It's like, in fact, somebody can't even finish sharing with you what God did Easter weekend or whatever before you interrupt them and start telling them what God did in your church. And you're going to find something. Yeah, God did that too, and he did this, you know. And we always try to one-up them, one more thing. And the way that God can help us to overcome that competitive heart is through partnerships. That's what the ark is all about, partnering together. You know, you become competitive, it can destroy your church, but if you become a partner and say, you know, we can accomplish a whole lot more together. How about we put aside these minor differences and major on the majors and join hands together? Let's move the ball down the field. Let's build the kingdom of God, and let's focus on what God wants us to focus on. Stop being all competitive and partner together. That's why I love like 21 days of awakening. We prayed and fasted. Thank you, Stovall, for leading us in that. That was huge for our church. I didn't have enough faith for 21 days. We were going to do like 10. And Stovall said, hey, I'm thinking about starting off the whole year with a fast. I said, that's funny. Martha and I were talking about the same thing. And he said, we're going to fast for 21 days. 21, how about like 10? Maybe we'll compromise at 14. And we did 21 days along. And wow, what an incredible experience that was for our church. We've done many fasts, and we've done extended fasts, but this by far, and I believe it was because of the partnership, Stovall. I think about Servolution, how we partnered together. Many of you were involved in Servolution. Thanks, Pastor Dino, for leading us in that. And it's not just a 7-day deal, but it's a lifestyle deal, 365 days a year. Serving others, how about that? That's a new idea. Come on, let's serve. That's what Jesus is all about, serving. And thank you, Dino, for challenging us in that. We got one prayer coming up. Many of you are involved in that in June. There's just something about partnerships that helps you overcome this whole competitive spirit. And rather than being competitive and trying to one-up, let's partner together. Let's join hands together and say, let's move the ball down the field to God's glory, that he would use us to change the world. Here's a third warning sign of an unhealthy heart, and that's a selfish heart. We become selfish. God blesses our ministry. We keep it to ourselves. We just keep it and hoard it, and we talk about generosity, but we don't, we're really selfish. It's all about us mentality. The solution to overcome this? Generosity. Generosity. Giving to others helps us overcome the selfish heart. Another warning sign is a critical heart. A critical heart. We get critical. Oh my goodness, we get critical. Man, what's up with the blogs? You know, I mean, some no-name person behind a computer, you know, just attacking everybody else. Nothing wrong with blogs, but it's not a weapon to criticize every other pastor, every other leader, and we kind of give little jabs here and there. That critical spirit, what do you think that says to the world? And the world looks at that and says, man, the Christians can't even get along. Pastors can't even get along. They're critical of each other. It just blows me away, I'm telling you. And I can be guilty of it myself. I can find myself getting a critical spirit. What's the solution to that? To give thanks. To give thanks. Just begin thanking God for that person. Some dynamic leaders around the country and even around the world, people criticize them. I'm like, why are you criticizing them? Just because God's blessing their ministry. Just because they have one of the most fastest growing churches in the world and you can't explain it, so you start criticizing that man of God. And there's no room for that in the kingdom of God. We can't be critical. I don't care what background you come from. We have to stop being critical of other leaders. Start giving God thanks for them. So what does it mean for God to work in your heart? I want to share with you two aspects. It means that we will rely on God's power, not on man's methods. God's power. What is it about churches that are in the ark and churches that God's blessing around the world? I believe they're relying upon God's power, not man's methods. Matthew 5, verse 8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by men. Number two, it means that we rely upon God's power, check this out, not just what we did last year. We can't just ditto what we did last year. What are we going to do this year for Easter? We just ditto last year. We're going to do this year for Christmas. Just ditto last year. And we just get in this routine. And we're not tapping into the power of God because we're not even asking God what he wants to do. Maybe God wants to do something new and fresh this year, you know? Maybe he wants to do something new and fresh this week or today. Listen, I think if we're honest, we all battle with this. We can get into a routine, get into a pattern, and God couldn't break through if he wanted because we're so rigid and we're so structured and we got this and this on the first day of the week and this on the first day of the month and this on the first, you know, and God's like, hello, are you going to ask me? I want to do a new thing. I want to do something fresh and new. But you're so bounded by structure. Can't rely upon what we did last year. God wants to do a new thing. God wants to work in your heart, and he wants to provide an overflow so that other people's lives will be impacted. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. Here's my prayer, you guys. This should be all of our prayers. That my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the what? Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Our desire should be that every weekend that we, as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that God's power would move. That we could get alone with God and say, God, light a fire in my heart because I am nothing without you. I can't do it without you. I need your power. It's not a demonstration of man's wisdom. It's not a demonstration of talent or ability. See, it's not about talent. It's not about being cool. It's not about being relevant. It's not about being cutting edge. It's not about your education. It's not about your experience. But it's about passion that comes from God as he works in your heart and works out of your heart, and you overflow and God blesses your ministry. It's passion that comes from the heart. The second thing we see is that God's power will overflow and impact others. Not only will God work in your heart, but his power will overflow. Everybody say overflow. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a great verse. And what a powerful verse, that may the God of hope fill you so that you can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus shared with his disciples in Acts 1:8, but you'll receive power. Listen to me, the key is not how cool can I be? You know, if I just did this program or this event or whatever. But it's about tapping into the power of God. And as God touches your heart, as God changes your life, it's out of the overflow that God blesses your ministry. I believe we need to pray that God would light a fire in our hearts that would spread and impact others so that together we can change the world. Some of us might think, well, if I just had this, if I just had that, man, God could really bless my ministry. And I'm telling you, we can have all the cool things and all the equipment and all the facilities and everything else, but if we don't have the power of God, we don't have anything. When we first started this church, we started off in an elementary school. And it was kind of rough. It wasn't the perfect facility to meet in. We met in a cafetorium. Some of you can relate, maybe. Nasty floor. I mean, you know how elementary kids, where they eat, man, I don't even want to know what was on the floor. We had to go in there and clean up the floor and move all the tables and somehow transform that into a worship center. And we had this, behind where I was speaking on the wall, we had this cow jumping over the moon. I don't know if you guys have the pictures. Can you put the pictures up there? No, not that one. Move on. There we go. How about that? There I am. Here I am preaching with hair. Check it out. Now, you see the cow back in the background? See the little cow jumping over the moon? Check it out. All right, those are our children's classrooms. You like that? You see that fan? That was our air conditioning. That was it right there. It's like, welcome to our children's class. That's how we started. They wouldn't let us use classrooms. We were in the hallway, un-air conditioned in the summer, no heat in the winter. There's the cow jumping over the moon. Check it out right there. And, but you know, that's all we had. That was literally the only place. That's enough, you guys. You can. We've moved on, man. But it was rough. Those are some tough days, man. And some of you are there right now. You're meeting in a cafeteria. You're meeting in a gymnasium somewhere. And you show up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning and you're waiting for the janitor to show up. And you got your kids and you're like, somebody unlock this door, man. It's cold out here, you know. You just feel like, man, I wish we just had some property. Wish we could build a building. Here's what I believe God wants you to know is be faithful with what he's given you right now. Just be faithful. And then God will just begin to move in your heart, because people come to our churches not because of our facilities, but they come because they're hungry and they need God and they're desperate for him and they need the power of God to work in their lives and through them. We start off in an elementary school. Then God blessed us with this 47-acre tobacco farm. Built our first little building in 2002. 20,000 square foot warehouse, and it was bare bones. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, it was like a building with paint and carpet. And we literally, we just moved the sound system from the elementary school that we're meeting in with little what do they call them, the PV, little speakers on the stands, you know? PV? Yeah, PV speakers, you know, and little six-channel board back in the back and in a 600-seat worship center, sound bouncing all over the wall. It was horrible. We couldn't afford to pave the parking lot. It was just like gravel, nasty gravel. You had to have a four-wheel drive pickup truck to come to church, which actually in our area kind of helped a little bit, you know. They're like, cool, let's go four-wheeling to church, man. So, women trying to walk through the mud. Our slowest growth year in the history of the church was our first year in the new building. We didn't get a growth spurt, man. It was rough. I mean, the sound was horrible. People would be like, man, I like this church, but I can't handle that sound. I was like, I can't either, but that's all we can do right now. Man, I wanted to leave too, but I was the pastor. We just stayed faithful. People kept coming. Lives kept being changed. And I discovered something. It's not about the building. It's not about the facility. It's not about how pretty your landscaping is or whatever. It's about the power of God. You get alone with God and say, God, I don't have much, but I have you. Light a fire in my heart. When I stand before those people this Sunday, when I stand before my people this weekend, that the power of God would move in me and through me. I'm telling you, you want to know what it is that is different about churches that are growing, that are life-giving, that are making a difference for the kingdom? And it's not about being cool. It's not about all the bells and the whistles. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I like this stuff. I don't want you to take it away. And we like it. But that's not what it's about. If you take somebody who has a passion for God, you can put them in a garage somewhere with no sound system, and they can preach their way to a whole nother level. They can lead their way to a whole nother level. Why? Because it's about what's on the inside that counts, not what's on the outside. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to work in our churches, and it's out of the overflow. And as God begins to work in our life, and God begins to work in our heart, God will do something amazing in your life. Listen to me. I don't know what your background is. I know many of you have different backgrounds. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, missional, purpose-driven, seeker-sensitive, emergent. It's about the power of God working in your heart and through you. That's what grows ministries. And God wants to do that in your life right now. Let me close with this. Back in 2002, we just entered the new building, and I was really discouraged because a few months prior to that, the end of 2001, in fact, September 11th, 2001, remember that? That was a sad day for America. It was also during that season where, as a church, we began to go through a very difficult time. We were meeting in the school trying to build this facility, our first, not this one, but our first facility. And church was running about 600 people at the time, and we lost about 100 people at one time, just left. And every person that left, it just ripped my heart out. For whatever reason, you know, the church kept growing. We had more people coming in, but behind the scenes, there was 100 people that had left the church. And when you're running 500 or 600 people, 100 people is like huge. 50 people is huge. I looked, I was like, God, maybe I've taken this as far as I can. I started dreaming about doing something else. But maybe I could do something else. I thought, you know, I want to go back to being a youth pastor. I did that for like 13 years. I'll go back to doing something like this. This is too hard, God. I don't want to do this. I prayed for that person. I baptized that person. We went through hard times together with that person. And it hurt. I wanted to quit. I wanted to throw in the towel. My heart was broken. We got away for a few days and went down to the beach. And I was in the house. I got a phone call on my cell phone. It's from a pastor. And I'd known him for a few years. And he said, hey, what are you doing? He said, hey, he offered me a job. Being like an executive pastor, increase in salary, and church that already had a facility and everything else. And I went and told Martha, went down the beach, and she's like, who was that you're talking to? And I told her who it was. She's like, what are you doing talking to him? Because she knew that he'd tried to hire me before. And so, well, so-and-so called me and offered me a job. And she said, you told him no, didn't you? I said, well, do you want to know how much he'd pay me first? She said, sure. So I told her, and I was expecting her to say, well, when are we going to go interview, you know? And she said, well, you told him no, didn't you? I said, was that what I was supposed to tell him? You know, I was kind of hoping, she said, you know, God has called us to this. He's given you a vision for this county. Oh, listen, I thank God for a godly wife. And she said, God has called us to this. We can't quit now. And I knew that in my heart. But I was sure hoping that God would change his mind. I came back and took a little sabbatical. Got away for a short period of time. Went down to Charleston, South Carolina. Called Pastor Greg Surratt. And I didn't really know him that well. He didn't know me. I'd heard a lot of great things about his church. And I said, hey, can we spend some time together? And so his assistant said, well, he golfs on Monday. So he said, he'll meet with you on Monday, but you have to go golfing. And I'm not a golfer. I mean, I'd golfed a few times, but that just wasn't something I was very good at. So I wanted to spend time with Greg, so we went golfing. We went on the golf course, and it was a rough day. I mean, I was discouraged. I was stressed out, and every ball had a name on it of somebody. I didn't care if it went in the hole. I just wanted to hit it hard. My golfing was so bad that the phrase that I heard from Greg more than anything else, well, that wasn't too bad of a shot. I mean, that was about as good as it got. We finished golfing and sat down at the clubhouse and we're talking. I just began to pour my heart out and Greg just listened. And we went to Starbucks and I kept pouring my heart out and he just kept listening. And I said, Pastor Greg, it just hurts. People have left the church and, you know, I accepted the call to ministry because I love people. In fact, by the way, if when people leave or, you know, and it doesn't hurt, then you're not called to ministry because it hurts. If you love people, and he said, you know what, Matt? He said, that's part of a growing church. The reality of it is people will come, people will go. I complained and poured my heart out some more, and Greg just listened. He said, people come, people go. He said, see that little storefront over there? People who have left Seacoast. See that right down the road? He said, it's just part of a growing church. And it's hard. You can't quit. You got to hang in there. I came back with a renewed passion, a renewed vision. I said, I'm not going to quit. It wasn't easy. Like I said, that was the slowest growth year in the history of the church. Those are some rough, rough days. But we hung in there. We're not going to quit. God began to do a healing in my heart. He began to renew my passion. And through that, I got a chance to meet Pastor Billy Hornsby. And through that, I got to meet all these incredible guys in the leadership team at the Ark. Now here we are, 7 years later. I'm just here to tell you that you may be where I've been right now. Don't quit. Hang in there, because the best is yet to come. Will you get alone with God and say, God, I need you to do a work in my heart, because God wants to work from the inside out. Will you pray with me?